and welcome along to William Hill's Darts Podcast. We move on to the quarterfinals of the William Hill Grand Slam. My name is Mark Walton, and I'm joined on the line by former Sky Sports commentator John Gwynn. How are you, John?
Very well, thank you. Yes.
Good. Always good action in Wolverhampton, and it's been no different this year, has it, John?
Absolutely. I mean, now that we've come to the quarterfinal stages, obviously everything really does begin to hot up, because the players now can really settle down in the knowledge that it's first to 16, it's a good long game. As long as one or two of them may have played for many a month, or certainly many a year maybe, and it really does mean that there's big money now up for grabs, and of course the prestige as well and honour that goes with it. But some great, great games in the last 16, and obviously we'll come to Lewis and Van Gerwen ultimately, but one of those games that people talk about for many, many years.
Yeah, it was phenomenal darts between Lewis and Van Gerwen, two high scorers, and they just went at each other toe-to-toe and just threw the high scores. It was a great match, but like I say, we'll come on to that later on, John, because what we'll do is we'll have a little bit of a talk about how the players got there and who they face, and we'll get your quarter-final predictions. But before we get to that, let's quickly go through the outright betting. The eight players are priced up as follows. Phil Taylor, 8-15 favourite. Adrian Lewis is 5-1. Scott Waite's 8-1. James Wade, 12s. Kim Hybrex is 14-1. Robert Thornton, 16-1. Tony O'Shea, 25s, and Ted Hankey is 40-1. So Phil Taylor still at the top of the betting, but shortening every time, John.
Yes, of course, and he will do. He's bringing out the best in his game all the time, forced to against Gary Anderson, of course, who was very, very encouragingly at his brilliant best. But Taylor, yeah, 8-15, did you say? Then I think that's a fair reflection on his chances. There's some very tempting each way odds there, because all the players left in the tournament now are very capable, with just that little bit of luck or stepping up their game by that small percentage of actually going all the way.
Yeah, would you have an each way player in mind if you don't want to take the 8-15 on Taylor?
Well, I'd be very inclined to have an each way bet on Tony O'Shea, because at 25-1, he plays Robert Thornton in the quarters, and I would be inclined to follow Tony. He's playing well enough, and I was very impressed with Tony the other night.
Yeah, Tony O'Shea's a man who knows how to get to finals, doesn't he? Doesn't always win them, but 25-1, it's a third of the odds if he gets to the final, so you're getting paid out even if he just gets there. So
yes, that's right. And Ted Hankey at 40s, you know, after his comeback against Whitlock, he may think, my name's on this trophy.
That was a remarkable match as well, wasn't it? He won 10-9.
Oh, it was a great game, wasn't it? And it reminded me of that poor old game that Whitlock lost in Blackpool about 3 or 4 years ago against Hamilton.
Yeah, he keeps getting on the wrong end.
Oh, dear. That was the most remarkable comeback. And this one reminded me of it, yes.
Yeah. Okay, then, so Phil Taylor, 8-15, probably the right price. And Tony O'Shea could be a bit too big at 25-1 for an each-way bet then in the outright markets. Let's actually focus on the quarterfinals, and we have two on Friday evening and two on Saturday evening. We'll start with Fridays, obviously, and Tony O'Shea plays Robert Thornton in the first of the quarterfinals. That's at 7:15. Tony O'Shea, three-time Lakeside runner-up, beat Andy Hamilton 10-7 in the last 16. He plays Robert Thornton, who beat Mervyn King 10-8. We've priced it up 6-5 for Tony O'Shea, and Robert Thornton is 4-6. How do you see the first quarterfinal going, John?
Well, it's going to be very, very close. And neither of these players has played as long a game as this for a long, long time. As I mentioned earlier, this will be the case now for them. Best of 31, first to 16. It's almost like a final in a way in terms of the length of the competition. Tony O'Shea played in the World Final only in the new year. Well, I say only, it's almost a year ago. And Robert Thornton, of course, his last really long game was when he won the UK Open back in 2012, 18 months ago. So we've got two men here who are going to be tested in terms of stamina, if you like. It's not so much physical stamina, it's concentration. And I just have a feeling that the way that both are throwing, it's going to be extremely close. But something tells me that O'Shea is holding himself together extremely well, looked super cool in his last 16 game. And Robert Thornton does, to a certain extent, tend to beat himself up a little bit if things start going wrong. I mean, that's a way, in fairness to him, that he has of urging himself on. And maybe that is a way of him helping himself concentrate. But something tells me that O'Shea has the beating of Thornton, and I'm going to take O'Shea to win this by 16 legs to 12.
Okay, 16 legs to 12, Tony O'Shea is 12-1, so if that comes up, you'll be laughing after the first match. So.
Well, I would always suggest now that we've got the longer game, that if you do go for correct scores, as I do, that a 16, 11, 12 and 13 with the most likely, the one that I forecast, in the middle.
Yeah.
So that you're giving yourself that leeway. And do three singles and double it up with the other game that we're coming to so that you do nine doubles as well. But always have more on your singles than you do on your doubles.
Yep.
Could be a nice little money earner.
It wouldn't be bad, would it? And you're getting 12-1 and 14-1 about the prices. So if you get a couple together, you're going to be well in profit.
Indeed, and you don't need to have a big stake.
No. Right, on to the second of the quarterfinals, and this is Scott Waits against Ted Hankey. This one is at 9:10 on Friday evening, and Scott Waits is 2-7, Ted Hankey 13-5. Waits, of course, a previous winner, won this in 2010. He beat Mark Webster 10-6 to get to the quarterfinals this year. Ted Hankey, we've already mentioned about his remarkable match. He was 6-1 down against Simon Whitlock. He won 10-9, and it just signals a bit of a return for him, because he suffered a minor stroke at Wolverhampton last year, didn't he? And he struggled with diabetes all year, so it's a bit of a signal that he's back focusing on the darts again.
I'm delighted for him. I was with Ted only a week ago, a little more than a week ago, in Andover, part of an exhibition night which went very well. Wade was there, Nicholson, and Van Gerwen. In fact, it was a good rehearsal for them for this Wolverhampton event. And he was in fine mood. At exhibitions, it's very difficult to assess form, but he was in a good mood, good frame of mind, and I think that's important with Ted Hankey. We know that he's had his moments, but and I think that has been illustrated during the course of these last few days. I think he's enjoyed himself in Wolverhampton. He's not far from home. He only lives in Telford, half an hour away. And I think that he's done extremely well. However, he is up against a man who is a reigning world champion, who is a very proud Yorkshireman. And we all know the likes of Dennis Priestley and others, how they can be difficult to beat. And I think Scott Waits tonight will move one step closer to a possible retention of a title he first won, as you say, way back in 2010?
It was, yes.
And he beat James Wade on that occasion, didn't he? And I think Scott Waits will move closer to the final, possibly with a win over Hankey tonight. And I would suggest by 16 legs to 10, so 9, 10 or 11.
OK, 16, 10 is priced up at 9-1. Like John says, the other ones around that as well. On to Saturday evening, the two quarterfinals on Saturday evening kick off with Adrian Lewis against Kim Huybrechts. Adrian Lewis got to the quarterfinals in a bit of a 180 off against Van Gerwen. It was it was a high scoring match on both parts, but Adrian Lewis hit 12 maximums and averaged 105.24. He hit a lot of 140s in there as well, so he was throwing brilliantly. He beat Van Gerwen 10-8. Kim Huybrechts had the emotional roller coaster of beating his brother. He beat Ronnie 10-5 to get to the quarterfinals. It's 2-5 for Lewis and 2-1 for Huybrechts. So how do you see this quarterfinal going, John?
Well, after his performance against Michael Van Gerwen, I really do feel now that Lewis is really, really buzzing. And he's going to be very severely tested by Kim Huybrechts, who's moved up and up and up, and he's in the top 16. He's a terrific player. He overcame his brother in difficult circumstances. Kim Huybrechts himself said that was the most difficult game of his career. He said, I prepared in exactly the way that I normally do. Everything, I felt right. Everything. He said, but when I got on the stage, it was just so different and it was so unnatural. And I think he's done well to come through that and played well against his brother. So Kim Huybrechts is a player that won't lie down and be easily beaten. But Lewis is real quality, real class, and he demonstrated in that wonderful, wonderful match against Michael van Gerwen. Both players did darts proud in that particular game. And it's Lewis for me, and I think he'll win by 16 legs to 9.
Okay, 16 legs to 9 in favour of Adrian Lewis, and that is 10 to 1. Just on the side of that, John, I just want to ask you a few questions about Adrian Lewis, because he said in the interview afterwards that he's back on the dartboard practising more than he has been. He's doing 5 hours a day, and he was saying that if he wants to emulate the likes of Phil Taylor and win plenty of world titles, he's got to put the work in. It just seems as if his attitude's changed a little bit again. He seems to be really enthusiastic about the game again.
And that's important, and what that demonstrates is you do get the rewards for the work you put in. And we've been saying that about Phil Taylor for years. Now, Phil Taylor's a brilliant player, whether he practices or not, but he's a better brilliant player when he does. And the same applies to any of them. I hope that this is a permanent reflection of Lewis's attitude, because if it is, then he's a permanent threat. But if it's a phase, and in 6 months' time he's back to his old ways, then that's no good for him nor for the game. And let's be honest, that's how Adrian has been. Up and down, up and down. And when his mind is on it, and his heart is in it, and he's prepared to put the work in, well, he's fantastic. Let's hope that's the case. And certainly during the course of this week, he's been a revelation again, and no reason why he can't go on to win it.
Yeah, should be a great match that as well. Adrian Lewis in form, and Kim Huybrechts very much on the up, isn't he, as you've mentioned, John? So that should be a good run. So should the final quarterfinal. Phil Taylor against James Wade. Bit of history between the two, of course. And Taylor is 1-9 to win this. James Wade is 11-2. Taylor beat Gary Anderson. A clinical performance when winning 10-5, because Gary Anderson was with him all the way. It was just Taylor managed to finish them off a bit better. And James Wade destroyed Paul Nicholson 10-1, but it wasn't Paul Nicholson at his best, we must admit that. But two players coming here in form, John. Who do you like for this quarterfinal?
Well, it's Taylor all the way. There's no point in beating about the bush. He has the beating of Wade all over. James Wade, I'm delighted for him. He's a lad who does have problems. I'm a great fan of James Wade. I know him very, very well. I like him personally, and I'm very, very sorry that he does have these problems, the bipolar disorder, that does make life difficult for him. And his moods change. But when he's up there on the occiff, he's concentrating on his game. He's proving again this week what a wonderful player he is. But time and time again, he comes up against Phil Taylor, doesn't he? And Wade will give a decent account of himself. But frankly, Taylor, the mood he's in. I mean, Anderson gave everything in that game and yet lost 10-5. I can only see one result. Nobody would be more pleased on this planet than I would if Wade produced brilliant, brilliant darts and moved into the semis. But I'm living in fancy land. I've tipped Taylor for the tournament. I think there's only one man can stop him. I think that's Adrian Lewis. And I'm taking Taylor to win this match against Wade by 16 legs to 8.
Okay, 16 legs to 8 then to Phil Taylor. That would be 7-1 on the correct score betting. So in summary then, John, you expect to see Adrian Lewis, Phil Taylor, Tony O'Shea and Scott Waits in the semi-final lineup on Sunday morning, isn't it? Sunday afternoon, rather.
Yes, I do indeed, and I still go with Taylor, but I genuinely see Lewis, the mood he's in, as a potential threat, and certainly a match between those two would be unmissable.
Mm. Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, John, and we'll look forward to speaking to you again ahead of the semi-finals on Sunday.
Thank you very much indeed.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.